T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
To my left, Daryl Strawberry. To my right, Bernie Williams. There we go.
All right.
Straw, how are you?
Good, Mike. Good to see you.
Bernie, how are you?
Great to see you, Mike.
Good to see you guys. And, you know, I'll start with Straw to my left. Straw, when fans started and where the Mets were, you were probably the topic of conversation every day. You were the guy. You were topic one. You were the guy who was always part of it. You were probably the first big buzz on FAN was Daryl Strawberry.
Well, thanks. It's good to be here.
Good to see you. Good to see you, Mike. Sure, as always. And you know the fans love you. They always have. So there you go.
It's always great to come back to New York. And Met fans were so special, you know, back in those days in the 80s. And, you know, the kind of team we had, the kind of guys we had. We had a group of guys that loved to play baseball, hard-nosed baseball, and winning baseball. And I think that's what it was all about each day that we stepped on the field. We didn't really care who got the job done, but long as we gave the effort to our fans, you know, that we were the best. And I think that's what's important with sports. You know, when players play, they have to know that they're the best. And I think those years, those early years in the 80s, we knew we were the best. We knew nobody could beat us. And
I probably should have won more than one title with that team. I mean, you were good enough to win more than one title, that's for sure. You guys were a dominant team.
Yeah, we were great enough.
You know, they didn't have wild cards in those days, so and you were. But how about having the second chapter, the second go-round, and your role with the Yankees?
Well, that was pretty impressive to be able to put on a Yankee uniform and, you know, the history there and everything that players have accomplished in playing in New York and the tradition of the New York Yankees. It's a totally different organization, just like no other, when you think about it. And, you know, I was very fortunate and blessed to be able to play with such great guys, you know, like this guy sitting over here, Bernie Williams, and all the other outstanding players they had, and Joe Torre. And, you know, I think the real key for that organization will always stand and lie with the boss. He was the one that put those pieces together.
He was fascinated with you guys. You, Doc, and those guys. He coveted you guys. He really did. And you paid dividends. I mean, what a bench you had in 96. What an incredible bench, the guys who came off that bench. And you being an incredibly popular figure with Met fans, and then obviously with the Yankee fan, your home run exploits. And then one of the most popular players in the 30 years of fan, without question, Bernie Williams, who is as popular as anybody in this town, and you hear it every time he goes out for Old Timers Day. Bernie, welcome. I'm talking about 96 because there's a connection with 96. 96 was such a special team to Yankee fans. They hadn't won in a long time. The team faltered late in the season. Dramatic, crazy stuff in the playoffs. You remember a walk-off home run for you against Randy Myers, I mean, and what went on there. Your exploits. I mean, the 96 team, tell me what you remember. Forget the other teams. Tell me what you remember about the 96 team. What stands out to you other than your walk-off home runs? But what stands out to you?
I think we were playing, you know, coming from the underdog position, you know, going against the Braves in the World Series, and that, you know, obviously documented how great that pitching staff was. The first couple of games, Andrew Jones just,
killed you.
Basically killing us.
Both games were romps, yeah.
Yes, and then Joe Torre, famous quote to Mr. Steinbrenner, we're going to go out there. And we're going to sweep him, and then we're going to come back here and finish the job. And Mr. Steinbrenner, thinking how crazy that sounded, you know, when Joe said it at the time. And it was true. I mean, we just came through. I think we were playing loose. We were playing like we had nothing to lose. I think that was probably the one thing that I would take out of that 96 team, because every year after that, 98, 99, 2000, up until 2003, there were a lot of big expectations for the team. But that first year, I think that was a year that marked the whole thing.
Tell me what, Bernie, as you, as one of the star players of that team, and a guy who's in the middle of the order every day and one of the real stars on the team, you had an incredible bench of guys who were big stars, who went and took became real role players, you know? Whether it's Tim Raines, or having Wade Boggs, having Big Daddy, having Straw, having these guys who were all big stars in their own right, what did it mean to have those guys behind you on the bench?
I think it was very important for the younger guys on the team to have them to follow their example in how they went about their business day in and day out. And I think, to their credit, you know, they were stars in their own right.
Big stars, yeah.
But they were able to, to play their role within the team. And that was a very important thing. You know, Joe was able to, you know, get the philosophy of, you know, the team is first. And everybody has a role. And everybody's role is as important as any other player. All the veteran players, you know, they weren't fighting for playing time. They were just... You know, they were happy to be
so
there.
How about that role? How about you guys? You know, whether it's Fielder, Raines is in the Hall of Fame now, and he'll be on the show tomorrow. He's got a new book. Boggs, yourself. You guys were all big stars with a different role with these teams. How were you all so comfortable in your roles?
Well, it was pretty cool, you know, because we really, once about a time, we were very selfish players, and we understood that because that was our job.
You were the men. You were the guys.
We knew that, but... We knew coming here and playing roles and putting the pieces together to make the puzzle work, you know, because you have to put all the pieces together. And that 96 team, that's what it was really all about. There was no egos, you know, there were guys really there to be able to play the role that needed to be played. There were times I said, Joe would ask me how I feel, and I said, I feel great. And he says, I said, if you want to play Big Daddy, go ahead and play. He goes, no, that's why I'm asking you how you feel. So it was just great to be able to have that, because you had Bernie, you had G, you had O'Neal, you had Tino. You already had your established players in the lineup. So to be able to have a bench when you can have guys and people sit over there and look at you, got these guys over on your
man,
bench.
Man, you're talking about guys who were the biggest stars in baseball at some point. I mean, Boggs is a Hall of Famer, Raines is a Hall of Famer, Big Daddy, yourself. You're talking about guys who were enormous stars coming off the bench on that team. That's an incredible bench, Bernie, when you think about
it. That's amazing. And I would hate to see the opposition thinking, okay, who are we going to pair up to which? Oh, we got Hall of Famers in the bench here.
I mean, Satino went to Big Daddy, right? It was a big deal when he did that. I mean, it worked, you know, so stuff like that. I mean, so, you know, the stuff that you were doing, it's an amazing bench. But no egos. Nobody saying, I got to get more playing time. I'm hot. You went down and went on a tear in Baltimore. I mean, but you didn't say, I got to be in the lineup the next day, right?
I didn't say that. I said, well, whoever you want to play, you play. So as long as we win in ball games, I think that was the most important thing for that 96 team to really get into the winning circle. You know, we got into the playoffs. Then we got into the World Series that year. And then, you know, we lost. We went down 0-2. But Joe had to make some decisions. He had to take a hard sleep and make some decisions on players. So he decided, well, I'll just use my bench right now. And maybe they could spark us. And we ended up sparking, going down there, winning three games with good pitching for us and winning three ball games. And then we came back home and finished it off.
Remarkable. Really was. I mean, that was just a tremendous time for that team. And you had won in 86 when you were expected to win, when the pressure of the world was on you to win. You had won with the 96. How did it feel a lot different? Did it feel the same? How did it feel to win in the different roles?
Well, no, I mean, it felt the same. You know, New York is easy to play in, you know, in front of fans like that, because, you know, they love the game, they know the game, they understand the game, and they like to boo. So it's really good, you know, to be able to have that. I think some players, you know, don't have an idea when they say they want to play in New York. You got to be prepared to play in New York, because you're going to get a little bit of everything. And I think when you grow up in that, I mean, I grew up in playing over at Shea Stadium, and so I'm used to all this. I'm used to all the craziness. So it was real easy for me to fit in and be able to play a role, because I know how to play a role playing in New York City.
Darryl Strawberry, of course, and Bernie, who spent his whole career here. So you got to spend, and that was just the tip of the iceberg, 98, 99. I mean, now, you know, everyone realizes how difficult it was. Maybe we all took it for granted when you win three in a row, 4 in 5 years, win 11 straight World Series games. I mean, that's crazy stuff. You look back at it, that's crazy stuff.
That is crazy. And, yeah, and now you realize how difficult that was.
It is, yeah. 11 straight World Series games. Yeah. I mean, that's remarkable stuff. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah, that is. I think, you know, obviously that the front office deserves a lot of the credit because right. they spend the money keeping the players, not bringing, you know, players to kind of, you know, rattle the whole system, but keeping the players that they had for a long period of time. And I think that in part was a big part of our success.
We're talking, of course, to Bernie Williams, Daryl Strawberry, 30th anniversary of the Fan. New stars in town, new guys. Judge, he's not asking for this. I'm asking it. If you could impart what you know to Judge, having walked in mile in those shoes, what would you tell him?
I would tell him to keep working hard. The game of baseball is funny. You know, we can have one good season, then we think we got this, and it don't, really don't work like that. You look at guys like Bernie, you know, and myself had long-term success. You look at Jeet, he had long-term success, you know, because I believe the offseason is so important for you to keep working on your game and keep your mind focused on how well you want to be in the next coming years, you know, not just the 1 year you have. Because, I mean, there were times I had good years and there were times I had slow times, but I picked up. And then in the mid-'80s, I just took off, you know, because I finally made my mindset that I'm going to dominate the game of baseball here and playing in New York. So that's what he has to think about, you know. Don't just think about having one good season. You know, he's young and you know, he wants to have a long career, longevity. That's what he wants to really be working towards. And that's what players like us work towards, and I think that's why we're so successful for so long.
Bernie, those kids who are there now, Sanchez, Judge, all of them will be there Sunday, and they'll watch the ritual of you guys all dressing in that locker room with them for Old Timers Day, and they're like, wow, here's Bernie Williams. I watched him when I was a kid in the World Series and all that stuff, and now you're just like you did when you were there, and they came in, and it was this guy and that guy and this guy, and that's the Yankee legacy, okay? So you know that, and you know they dressed in your locker, and now you dress in their locker. What? And you sit and talk to them about this stuff. What do you tell the judge right now when you talk to him?
I would tell them.
And I know you're not the type who could give a lot of advice, but what would you tell them as far as that stuff?
Tell them to stay hungry. Yeah. Stay hungry and never take the game for granted. Yeah. I think, you know, if you have a good season, the game could be very humbling. I think if you forget what got you here to this point, you know, that hunger, that drive, right. That's the one thing that he should never be able to lose. And that if he keeps that, his expectations are going to be bigger than anybody else's. And he can live with that, man. You know, he can have a good year. He's got stretches where he's going to be struggling, but he's going to keep that drive, and that's going to get him through.
Straw, are you still doing the stuff you've been doing in the later years? Are you still doing the ministry and all the different stuff that you've been doing? What are you up to these days?
Yeah, I'm traveling. I'm a pastor. You know, I'm preaching here Saturday in Brooklyn at Brooklyn Tabernacle at a men's conference, and you know, I have two recovery centers down in Florida, so I'm helping people with opiate and heroin addiction across America. I'm on the White House.
What do you see when you see Tiger Woods stuff?
Well, you know, it's that hidden stuff that you never deal with. You know, you could be successful and you
I
can
mean,
have
who is more
all.
Successful than him?
Right, you can have it all, but then you know, there's a brokenness that goes on inside. You know, and you know, like I said, you just pray for him. You just hope he comes out on the other side and he finds himself. You can have all the stuff you want, and I've had it all. But if you're not happy inside, it doesn't mean a thing. And I think that's what's going on with Tiger right now. He's very empty inside, and wish him well. I wish he can get happy, find happiness within inside himself, and not in the opiates and the prescription pills, because we got kids dying all across America.
That's an incredible problem right now.
Yeah,
it is an epidemic of unbelievable proportions. They said it's never been worse than it is right now.
Never been worse, and you know, I'm on the White House board, substance abuse, mental health, and
what are you learning? What should we learn? What do we need to find? Well, what do we need to do?
Well, we need to get back to the table with our kids and teach them some principles. I think life matters. I think so many people are caught up in social media and they think that's life, and these young people don't really think their life matters unless somebody's liking on their social media, unless somebody's saying something good about them. And we need to get back to the table with our kids and let them know that their life matters no matter what people say.
Interesting. Straw, Bernie, you've obviously had great success with your music, and I can tell folks the only people we've announced for the Tiller Show, and we haven't announced any guests, is that Bernie Williams is bringing his all-star band to the Tiller Center on the 15th. So we're looking forward to that. That's very nice of him to do that. So the Bernie Williams all-star band will be there that night. And you are obviously having tremendous success. And, you know, it probably was important to be able to find something that you had that passion for right after baseball, right? And you found that.
Yeah, absolutely. Music and just having, you know, that same zeal and drive to help people, to help via of influence in the community. Like Daryl has been very influential in that, you know, to the, you know, the younger generations of ex-players, you know, trying to figure out what they're going to do with the rest of their lives. You know, when you retire at 37, 38, you still have a long way ahead. I mean, God, you know, God permitting,
right.
God gives you health, you know, you've got to figure out how to stay challenged and helping the community, doing something that could, you know, make you wake up in the morning and say, okay, I have a plan, I have something that I have to do. It's really important after you're done with baseball.
And, you know, Stroh, you've actually been to the mountaintop. You've also seen the dark side of this. So you've been through both, and you've been public about it, and everyone's seen all that. Does that connect you even more to these youngsters because they see that you've been through all of that? Does that help?
Yeah.
Does that make the message clearer and let it hit home more because of that?
Well, I think they respect me more, the fact that someone that's been there and that can educate them about it. You can get all the degrees you want and read every book you want, but if you've never been in that situation and dealt with it, it's more difficult to explain to those young people. Because we're dealing with a different millennium of young people, and it's not like it used to be. They're nonverbal. They communicate through texting and social media, and you have to be able to challenge them to be able to sit down and have a real conversation with you. And that, I think that's what's really happening, you know, with our younger generation today, and seeing so many young people die. They just disconnected, you know. And if we can get them back connected and realize that there's a purpose for their life, and their life is more than what drugs are the opiates and the heroin is doing to them, because it's affecting them like crazy, like never before. And I just never seen nothing like it. And I go all across America to speak to programs and tell them we need to empower our people with wisdom and knowledge, you know, what drug addiction is about, what prescription pills about. And parents need to stop allowing doctors give their kids prescription pills, because they get addicted and they don't understand. They're young and it alters their mind and they're in trouble.
You know, it's interesting you said that about the phones and the social media. One of the top college basketball coaches in the country told me that he could be at practice and mad at his team and threaten them to run the stairs or work out for 3 extra hours. They don't pay attention. Tell them that you're going to take their phones away for an hour. He says they snap to attention like this. He says even an hour. You can take them away for an hour. He says they can't live without those phones for an hour. I mean, they snap to.
Well, you even have adults who can't live without their phones these days. So, you know, I think that's been a major problem across America, and I think we need to, like, really work towards that to help these kids.
Do you look forward to old-timers' day? I mean, some guys don't because they think, you know, and you get, I mean, you bring
Bernie's
the house
not
down.
Old.
You know, it's amazing, but, you know, you show up. Some guys don't want to show up. They don't like getting that uniform. They don't like the idea of it, that it bothers them. You go there, and now the 90s Yankees, it's been long enough so that a guy can say to his little kid, that's my team. You know, now it's been 20 years. That's my team. It's scary when you say 20 years.
But
do you look forward to going for the day now? Is it fun? I know, is it fun to hear those cheers again and have the people go crazy and everything else and get in the uniform and swap stories? Do you like it?
Yeah, I do like it. I didn't used to like it. The first couple of years that I retired.
You felt weird?
No, I was like, no, man, I'm not an old-timer.
Well, Derek doesn't want to do it. Derek keeps saying he's not an old-timer.
And I think it took the retirement of Gene Monahan that year that he was going to retire, our trainer, medical trainer, he said he was going to retire. He said, you got to be there for that. And I said, okay, I'm going to be there for old time. And then after that, I went every year. So
Do you like it, Stroh?
Yeah.
No, I don't. I don't even like baseball anymore. So I don't watch it. I hardly go to games. Yeah, you know, I'm always grateful for, you know, the Mets and the Yankees and the New York fans. But baseball and sports, I don't really watch. I just only watch my kids play in college and stuff like that. But I'm better off doing what I'm doing.
Interesting.
Yeah, the thing for me is so get an opportunity to meet with the guys.
You like that?
Yeah, it's the night before or the, you know, whatever party they do before the All-Star game to get, you know, in a situation where you get people coming from Australia, you know, all parts of the country, in all parts of the world, basically, to meet for that, you know, that maybe 2 or 3 hours and swap stories. And then the game just goes too crazy, and it's just too – a lot of things going on. You don't really have a time to
talk. How about
hearing
that building going crazy for you again? It's got to bring back a lot of memories, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does.
Well,
it
that's
does.
Good. Like, you know, like the 20-year anniversary. That stuff is great, you know, because you – You know, as seeing the guys that you play with, you never forget the guys you play with, man. Especially, you know, these guys. You know, you win. We know what that was all about together as a team. That was so much fun to be on the field and not having egos and just really playing. I think today the players is more about their own self and their own stats. And, you know, you can't win a championship with one player. It takes a whole team effort to win a championship. And I think these younger players need to learn that.
Can you relate to Strawberry 1986, Daryl Strawberry 1986?
No, I mean, 1986. I couldn't. I mean, but I had great leaders around me. I had Carter. I had Hernandez. We had Ray Knight. You know, you had guys like that. And you had young players like myself, Gooden. You had Dykstra. You know, we had a bunch of young guys. But these guys, the veteran players like Hernandez and Carter and all those, Ray Knight, they kept us together. You know, and I think that's why we were so good. And, yeah, we should have won more. But we were good that year to be able to win that championship and come back because of that group of guys that I just talked about. They were veteran players, and they kept us together throughout the course of the season.
Can you relate to watching the guy who takes Beck deep for a walk-off home run or, you know, takes Randy Meyer deep for a walk-off home run? You see those highlights? I mean, do you remember that guy? Can you relate to that guy?
I hardly remember that guy, especially physically. But I think I still have a little bit of that guy as far as the drive, you know, the competitiveness, and just to have that zeal to do something with my life, you know, now out of baseball. Yeah. You still need the same discipline. You still need the same commitment to do all the stuff that you're doing right now as I did when I was a baseball player.
You guys had great careers. I mean, you were big stars. If I asked you, and we're talking with Daryl Strawberry and, of course, Bernie Williams, what are you proudest of your baseball career? What is it that you're most proud of if I asked you about your baseball career?
I'm so proud of, when I always think about it, I'm so proud of being a New York guy and playing in New York City. Had I known better, I wouldn't have never became a free agent and left New York City.
Well, you weren't a Dodger. We don't.
Yeah, but I'm just saying New York City is like the greatest place, and being able to play in front of these fans and being able to play with great players, you know, like I played with over there with the Mets, and then going over to the Yankees and playing with like guys like Bernie. And it's no joke. You know, when Bernie was in the zone, he was hot. There was nobody
greater.
He
was unbelievable. I mean, he was clutch, man.
Yeah, he was clutch. Yeah, oh, man,
G, you, so were you. But he was – Bernie was just had a knack. And he did have a knack.
Yeah.
Joe said you slowed – the. I asked Joe, I said, Joe, what do you think it was with Bernie? He says, Bernie slowed the game down better than anybody, you know. So, I mean, maybe – and listen, I know I told Bernie once, Bernie, we got to speed the game up. He goes, wait, you mean I can't step out every pitch? That's my thing,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
You couldn't even fathom not stepping out, right?
It was on my terms. That was my –
That's it. You got to set that guy up, right?
Yeah, exactly. I used to have great battles with Pedro Martinez because I used to step out of the box off of him. I said, man, next time you step off, I'm going to hit you. I was like, okay, bring it on. So, yeah, man, that was – I don't know, man. It was just the way that I played the game.
Yeah, you know, but you were such a good – you know, so many guys struggle in the clutch. You were so good in the clutch, so many big hits. You know, 2 walk-off home runs, only 2 guys have that. I won't mention the other one since he's a Red Sox. But, you know, the idea of those big hits, you got so many of them.
Well, a lot of it has to do with the good Lord giving me the opportunity, putting the whole, a lot of work. I mean, it's the epitome of all the effort and all the sacrifices that you made, and you put yourself in that situation, and then it I mean, it's his will. I mean, if you're gonna be successful, you do everything you can to be in that position, but then, you know, it's going to happen or it's not. But I think the one thing that you take from it is that whether you succeed or you fail, you kind of look at yourself in the mirror and say, I did everything that I could for that.
But what I think about Bernie in those situations, because I was playing, I mean, I was there a lot, and, you know, and Bernie was really calm in the clubhouse all the time. You
right,
know,
or sleeping
was,
on the couch.
Yeah, he was sleeping on the couch. Yeah. He was over there with his guitar in his hand.
You know, I was visualizing. Yeah.
But when he got into the game, you could tell he was locked in. You know, it was just, you know.
That was like my alter ego, man. I became a different person on the field.
Yeah. Can you, people, I think, standing out here watching that, and every guy who ever put on a Little League uniform dreams of being you in the World Series or you in the World Series and having that moment. Can you consciously remember when you took, you know, whoever it was, Nolan Ryan deep, or whoever you took deep in a playoff game or a World Series game, the Red Sox, whatever, can you remember what consciously what you thought as you went around those bases after hitting a big home run in one of those spots? Can you put yourself back there and think, tell me what you were thinking there in that time?
Yeah, I mean, I just
what's going through your head as you're rounding those bases, place going crazy?
It wasn't really never about me. It was really always about the team.
Right.
You know, I think, you know, in the playoffs that year in 86 against the Astros when I hit that home run against Knepper to tie it up.
Yep.
And then Nolan was pitching a great game. And
yep.
I hadn't had much success off of Nolan. And, you know, he threw me a pitch that was down and low, and I hit it down the right field line to stay fair, and it tied that game up 1-1. And then we go on to win the ball game.
Yep.
So you never forget what that feeling's like, because the game is – you're in crucial situations, and the game is on the line, you know, and somebody's got to get him, you know, and that's what it was for, like, me. You know, I know I needed to get a good pitch to hit. And I remember Hernandez sitting on second base telling me to keep my shoulder in when I was facing Knepper because he was a left-hander. Hernandez taught me how to hit left-hand pitching. So it was pretty exciting to be able to come through in those kind of situations to get us back in those ball games, and then we go on to win those ball games.
And I'm thinking of you, and what comes to mind for me is Seattle series when they won 116 games and you guys beat them. You homered three straight games in that series, and you hit one to left center, left-handed, that they were stunned when out of the ballpark. And I was watching you go around those bases and thinking, man, this guy must drive them crazy, you know, day after day. And they're thinking, man, this guy's not supposed to hit all these home runs. You know, he was guy at 25. Here he is killing us in the postseason. And can you tell me what was thinking as you're going around the bases, and you know it's gone now. You're between first and second, and it's gone. What's going through your mind?
Well, not really going around the bases, but then after when I'm sitting in the dugout,
right.
Say, what did I just do? You know, that's the feeling that you get. You know, as a player, you kind of live for those moments. You know, I think in order for you to be successful, you want those moments. You know, you kind of like visualize them, and you kind of like say, you make a plan during the course of the game. I mean, if this guy gets on, I'm gonna get on. If this guy, you know, hits in 2 hours, I'm going to be in this situation. You kind of like want to plan yourself ahead, so if the situation comes, you're able to do it.
So when you're 5-2 down to Pedro in the eighth, and Jeter's ball goes over Trot Nixon's head, and you're up, you're in the box saying, "What's Pedro going to do?"
I'll say, "No, have a good at bat." That's right. What I'm thinking.
And you hit a line drive to center field, base hit, knocked in the run.
Yeah, just have a
good
at bat.
What were you looking for?
I was looking for the ball over the plate.
That's it?
I was trying to hit it up the middle.
That's it. We
which
did?
Which I did, yeah. I wasn't really trying to hit a home run. If he would have probably speed my bat up with a slider or a change or something, I probably would have hit it in the better part of the bat.
Well, it would have been. If Benito was in there, we would have been looking for a home run, obviously.
Yeah, well, I would have. But I wasn't really looking to hit home runs any time. I was just trying to hit the ball where it was and, you know, try to be a
George, you ever go up looking for a home run and hit one?
Well, situations.
Well, you said I'm going to hit a home run right here and then hit one?
Well, I knew situations. I was more of a situation hitter. You know, I played a game from the on-deck circle.
Right.
And I analyzed the game as, you know, where we at and what we need. And I always said in tight situations, I'm going to get two good pitches to hit. One of them I got to get.
You're going to get two.
I'm going to get two. Yeah.
Right.
There's at-bat.
So you foul that one off, you're thinking,
I got to crush.
I'm going to get one more.
I know I'm going to get another one. You're going to get another one in that at-bat. And I always told myself in those kind of situations, you're going to get two good pitches to hit. One of them you got to hit. You can foul one off, but the next one, I'm not going to miss.
Well, in the 30 years of the fan, these two guys gave us plenty of thrills, that's for sure. So I could sit here all day with you guys, but I got to let you go. Bernie Williams.
Thank you.
Daryl Strawberry. Thank you very much. Thank you, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.